And so the book of Hebrews starts out in chapter 1 and says that in the past God spoke to Israel through the prophets, but now He's spoken by His Son. So we have a more full and complete word from God in the gospel. Therefore, the book of Hebrews has lots of warnings. Since God has spoken through Jesus, we got to hang on to Jesus. We have to hold on to this word God has spoken through His Son to the very end. And so you'll see these powerful warnings about drifting away, about getting lazy in the things of God. Because if we're not careful, what we can do is we can prove that we were never a true believer by walking away from the church forever and away from the faith in Jesus Christ and come under the judgment of God. Those fiery warnings were in chapter 6 especially, and in chapter 10. And so if Hebrews is a sermon about staying in the faith, then what is faith? What is faith? What is the faith that we're supposed to stay in, stay holding on to persevere in? And that's what Hebrews 11 is all about. It describes saving faith. It tells us what biblical faith is. And it gives us a lot of fun examples from the Old Testament of men and women who had saving faith. And they endured in their faith to the end. They weren't perfect people, as we're going to see a little bit this morning. But it's not about the size of your faith. It's about who your faith is in, the object of your faith. Your faith doesn't have to be perfect, but the object of our faith is perfect, Jesus. And He holds us and He guards us in the faith as we grow. So we looked at the first 7 verses last week, but I want us to hit those again and kind of look at them from a different perspective. This morning, the message is called Faith Sees the Unseen. Faith sees the invisible. Faith detects something that you can't see with your eyes or hear with your ears. Faith receives information from God. Faith understands truth that you just can't see with the natural and physical senses. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. So in Hebrews 11, let's read the first 7 verses. We'll read quickly here. Now, faith is the assurance. That word we talked about last week. It's the substance. It's the foundation. It's the title deed. It is the essence of what we're hoping for. Okay? It is the conviction or the evidence or the proof of what we don't see. For by it, by faith, the people of old, that is the Old Testament saints, receive their commendation from God. By faith we understand. Remember that phrase. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. All right, we're talking about seeing the unseen. God is the God that brings the visible out of the invisible. In verse 4, we have these examples of Abel, Enoch, And in verse 6, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near, whoever's going to come near and worship, must believe that God exists and that it's not in vain to seek Him. He rewards those who come to Him through Jesus. And in verse 7, we have the example of Noah. And in particular, Noah saw the unseen. What did Noah see? Noah saw that a flood was coming. Even though he couldn't see the raindrops falling with his eyes. In church, listen to me. Noah built that ark for 120 years and there were no raindrops falling. So why did he know that a flood was coming? Because he saw the unseen. Because God told him a flood was coming. God spoke to Noah and faith came by hearing. By hearing the word of Christ. Do you understand? One minute you didn't know the flood was coming. Then you have an encounter with God. And God reveals information. God speaks through His promises, through His Word. He said, Noah, I'm going to judge the world with a flood. Build a boat. And Noah believed God. Noah received what God was saying and acted on it, didn't he? And so faith without works is dead. Faith sees what God is saying, what God is revealing, and believes it and acts on it. And so if Noah said, "Yes, God, I believe you," but he didn't build the boat, he would have drowned with everyone else. With faith without works is dead. So you understand the process. One minute you don't know God, then God decides that you're going to have an encounter with him. And he shows up in your life and he reveals himself to you through the gospel preached that Christ died for sinners. And you knew that all your life kind of with your mind. But now suddenly you see it. Faith sees. And you realize, oh no, I'm a sinner. I heard this in Sunday school all my life, but now God has spoken it to me and I'm broken. And I get down and I'm crushed because I know I'm a sinner before a holy God. And then God reveals what he's done to rescue us from our sins. What has God done to rescue us from our sins? He's given his son to die as our substitute on the cross. Hallelujah. And you knew that all your life, but now you see it with faith. Faith is the eye that sees the unseen. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together this morning? And so faith understands that I'm a sinner and Jesus is the Savior. And suddenly you believe it. You have it. You have that substance in you, that essence of what you're hoping for. You have eternal life. You've been born again and you begin to act on it by repenting of sin and believing on Jesus. And you get with some other folks who believe. You join with a local group of Christians and you live out faith together. And you prove that you're a genuine believer through your works, through your obedience. You prove that you love God because you love His church. And you serve the people of God. Hallelujah. That's the process here. That is biblical saving faith. And so as we describe this faith, we saw in verse 1 again, we talked about these two Greek words that are, the ESV translates assurance and conviction. And those are multi-layered words. It is the substance. By faith, we respond to God's revelation. We grab a hold of what God has shown us in our heart. Have you grabbed a hold of what God has revealed through His Son? You say, yeah, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He died on a cross for sinners. But have you taken hold of it? That is faith. You remember the old, it's kind of a cheesy illustration that preachers will use sometime. I know I've used it before too, but it's effective. It helps us see a chair sitting on this stage. You know, I could believe with my mind. I could tell you with my mouth. I could say, if I sat in that chair, it would hold me up. Well, that's believing facts. But faith goes farther. Faith sits in the chair, right? You understand? Jonathan Edwards gave an awesome illustration as well. He said that we can understand that honey is sweet without tasting it. You could examine its chemical properties. I'm not a chemist. I'm not a scientist. Are you? We may have some scientists among us this morning. You could look at honey and run some tests on it and come to the conclusion that, you know what, if I ate this honey, I bet it would taste sweet on my tongue. And you could even sing songs about that honey is sweet. I don't know why you would, but you could. But if you never taste it, that's not experiential knowledge. Listen, you could say that Jesus is the Savior of sinners. He died on a cross and rose again. I believe that with my mind. I go to church and I sing songs about it. Jesus is the Savior for sinners. But have you tasted? The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? That's faith. It's sitting in the chair. It's not just saying that chair will hold me up. So we hear the Word of God, and we respond to it. We grab hold of it. We take it in, and we have it within us. And we live in light of those promises. Paul wrote some words about faith that goes right with what the author of Hebrews is telling us this morning about seeing what the eye can't see. I want to take you to 2 Corinthians for a moment. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4:18. He says, "We look not to the things that are seen." How are you going to look to things that aren't seen? You see, we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. We're looking to things we can't see with our eyes. That's Christianity. That's saving faith. Because the things that are seen around us, what you see with your eyes, is transient. That means temporary. But the things that are unseen are eternal. What we see with our eyes in this world, man, I mean, it's really here. But there's spiritual truth behind what we see, and that is what is forever. You can't look with your eyes and see that Jesus died on the cross for me. But we believe it because God spoke it, and God is trustworthy. So we see the unseen. That's faith. And then in the next chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote that we walk by faith, not by sight. Do you notice that Paul is contrasting faith with physical vision? Do you see this? And so we understand this morning that biblical saving faith means that we're seeing something with the eyes of the heart, with the eyes of faith. Man, I can describe this to you, but have you experienced it? You know, if you're a believer this morning, a born-again believer, you know what I'm talking about. Your mind can go back to that moment, and you remember when God showed you truth, and it's like explosions were going off in your heart. As you saw that Jesus died for you, and that became the sweetest thing you ever saw. That's why you live as a Christian. That's why this world and its pleasures can't rip you away from Jesus, because you've seen truth. And you know this world is going to come to an end, and all these pleasures and sins and other things, other religions and paths, all of that, it's not going to matter in that day. What's going to last forever is this unseen thing that you've seen by faith. And you've got it there in your heart. You've got the essence, the nature, the substance of it. And you're responding to God by believing what He said, and you're living it out in your life. Faith involves patience because we don't have it yet. John Calvin wrote, we talked about that last week, that faith by its very nature involves patience because we're waiting on the fulfillment of God's promises, and we don't have that yet. We've got the promise, but we don't have heaven yet. Well, I don't have my glorified body yet. I still get sick. I still hurt. My voice is a little scratchy this morning. I'm not in my glorified body. But one day, the Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 13, in that day, the saints, the righteous, will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. That's going to happen, brothers and sisters. A body that won't die or get sick. You know, a body that can withstand the pleasures of God forever. Hey, that's something, amen? A body that can be with God forever with no sin nature in it anymore. Hallelujah. We're not there yet. So we live by a patient faith that's holding on to God's Word and waiting on Him. And then we get to the examples. He said by faith the people of old were received their commendation from God. He's going to give us a bunch of examples here. But notice in verse 3 he says, by faith we understand. Do you see it in your Bible there? By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. How many of you were there when God created the world? Raise your hand this morning if you were there when God spoke the universe. I don't see any hands. That means you're telling the truth this morning. You weren't there. You didn't see it with your eyes. How do you know that God created the world? Because God told us that He created the world. And He is reliable and trustworthy. Now, if you don't have faith, that sounds silly, doesn't it? Well, sure, God said He created the world. He could say anything because we weren't there. But when you see it, do you understand? When you have faith, when God doesn't just say it generally, but shows you. When you open your Bible to Genesis 1:1, by the way, this is the first thing God has revealed to anybody. Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So you see, we hear God's Word, and faith comes. Faith rises up. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. So we hear Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And yeah, I heard that all my life, but now I have faith. I know. And you can't talk me out of it because I have seen the truth of God that He has revealed in His Word. He's the Creator. And so all my allegiance goes to Him. He's worthy of my worship because He created me. He created all things. You see? So before the writer of Hebrews starts listing all the Old Testament saints, his first example is by faith we understand that God created the visible out of the invisible. God, see, this is a snapshot of faith. God is the God who brings out of invisibility what we can see. And God is the God, just as sure as He created the world, He will fulfill His promises. Amen? He's going to bring the new heavens and the new earth. God is going to do what He said that He would do. If you don't have faith, you can't understand that. By faith, we understand. By faith. You say this morning, well, I'm in trouble because I don't have faith. There's good news for you. Faith comes. Faith comes. If you're doubting this morning, if you're a skeptic, if you're wanting to know the truth, cry out to God because faith comes. And I would say, do one better. Get yourself to the preaching of God's Word every time you can because faith comes through hearing. And as God speaks and the Holy Spirit moves, you see it with the eyes of your heart and nobody can talk you out of it because you've seen truth. Hallelujah this morning. So we see that faith, by faith we understand. Then we see the example of Abel. And I just quickly want to mention that Abel worshipped by faith. Why did God like Abel's offering and not Cain's? Have you ever wondered that? We get from the story of Adam and Eve, and then suddenly we meet their children, Cain and Abel, and they both come to the worship service. By the way, did you ever realize that the first murder ever created was over a worship service? Religious people have been fighting ever since, right? And what we have with Cain and Abel, we have the only two religions that have ever existed, faith and works. And we see Cain brought his vegetables to the Lord that he raised with his own hands. And he offered them to God. You say, well, that's good. He came to worship. But we come to God on God's terms, not our terms. We can't skip into God's presence and say, you know what? God ought to just be happy that I'm coming at all. No, we come to approach the holy God in the way that God has made. And God had shown Adam and Eve when they sinned, He killed animals and covered their nakedness with skins. And it involved shedding of blood. And Abel understood somehow. And he brought a lamb to die as his substitute in his place. So how do we know what Abel was thinking when he offered that? Hebrews tells us. By faith, Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice to God. By faith. So Abel was offering that lamb by faith. And he may not have understood that Jesus was coming and His name was going to be Jesus and all of this. But he knew something. He knew some information from God. And he held on. And he offered a lamb instead of his works. And that's the only two religions we have today. Coming to God through faith in the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And every other religion is works and what you can do. And what you know, if you meditate long enough. And if you do enough good deeds, if you do this and this and this, you can earn favor with God. And that is works, and it's not accepted before the Father. God told Cain, get it right, son, and you'll be accepted too. But he hated his brother, and he killed him over it. Abel saw the unseen, and he worshiped God acceptably. Then we have Enoch. Enoch saw something. He saw that you please God by walking with Him in faith. And God took him. He was pleased with him. Then we have the example of Noah. I've already mentioned Noah saw something by faith. What did Noah see? He saw that a flood was coming because God had revealed that to him. He grabbed hold of that. And with the eyes of his heart, he could see as if the raindrops were falling right now. And he got to work on the boat. And I'm sure there were days when his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, said, Daddy, why are we working on this big boat? There's no water around for miles. There's no ocean. There's not even a lake around here. It's not raining. I've never even seen a flood. And Noah told his sons, he said, you obey your daddy. I have heard from God. God said He's going to bring a flood on the earth. And they obeyed the Lord. And Noah's whole family was saved from the wrath of God that rained down on sinners. They were protected in the ark, just as we are protected in Jesus when God's judgment rains down on the last day. What a thing! He saw the unseen, and he was able to endure 120 years of mockery, hardships. You think he ever hit his thumb with that hammer? He had some bad days, guys. He wasn't perfect. I mean, after the flood, for crying out loud, he came off the boat and planted a vineyard and got drunk. He was not a perfect man. But he had a perfect Savior. Amen? Tim Keller has said before in the Exodus, as the Israelites were walking through the Red Sea that was parted, he said, man, I know some of those guys probably had strong faith. And they walked through the Red Sea, looking at that water. Maybe they saw fish swimming in there like the little kids' story Bibles show, you know, little shadows of sharks or something. I don't know what they saw. But Tim Keller says, as some walked through, they probably said, look at what my God has done. And they strutted across with strong faith. But he said, I bet there's also a couple in that multitude that had weak faith. And as they walked through the Red Sea, they were saying, oh my goodness, I'm going to die. Oh my goodness, look at these walls of water. Hurry, hurry, go a little faster. You know, but it didn't matter whether each one had strong faith or weak faith. They all believed and they walked across and obeyed God. You see, it's who you're believing in. Faith must have an object. And our object is the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are some preliminary examples the writer gives us. But now he's going to switch gears and focus on Abraham. I want us to read that again. Starting in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Look what Hebrews gives us a little insight into Abraham's heart. For he was looking forward. What does faith do? Faith sees the unseen. Church, he was looking forward. We don't shrink back in unbelief. We move forward in faith. That's the book of Hebrews. Don't shrink back and be destroyed, but look forward to what God has said and what God has promised. Keep stepping forward, obeying what God has said and revealed in His Word. That's what Abraham did. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself. Now, in verse 11, you can read the Bible scholars here. The Greek there could either be pointing to Sarah having faith or Abraham having faith. It can be translated either way. So your translation may say Sarah believed, and another one may say Abraham believed. But the point is, they did it together. And so they believed. All right? They believed. But the ESV says, by faith, Sarah herself, the women of God, ladies, who believed God, she received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful. Do you see the object of her faith? You say, well, man, Abraham and Sarah were heroes. They God chose them because they were great. No, it wasn't the size of their faith. It was the size of their God. Look what he said. She considered him faithful who had promised. Wow. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead, his body was old, he's 100 years old, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. So we've seen what biblical faith is. Learn some lessons here from Abraham's faith. First, Abraham acted on God's word. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. Do you see what's common in this chapter, what we've been seeing over and over again? Faith starts with God calling. God reveals information. Faith doesn't start with us. We don't just get up one day and say, I'm going to believe God and I'm going to be a great man of faith. Now, I think one of the worst problems with the health and wealth gospel, the prosperity gospel, a lot of TV preachers that you'll see, books that you'll read, the idea is you can come up with whatever you want, and if you believe God hard enough, you'll get it. But the fundamental problem with that is that faith is starting with us, what I want. In other words, it starts with me having a brainstorm session. What do I need? Or it starts with me and my own greed. Can we be honest? A lot of Christian programs, you'll watch it and it breeds greed in you. It says, you shouldn't be poor. God doesn't want you to be poor. Come up with what you want. Maybe you want a new car. Put your faith on that new car and you start confessing that I'm believing God for a new car. The problem with that, God has not revealed to you that He's going to give you a new car. Now, yeah, if God speaks and says He's given a car, then believe Him. But faith is not coming up with what you want. Faith, we're not the initiator here. God initiates faith. So whatever God has spoken in His Word, hang on to it. Yeah, speak it out, confess it. I mean, you're not creating anything with your words, but you're helping yourself believe by speaking truth. You're encouraging your heart. I mean, Paul said in Romans 10, with the mouth you confess and are saved. So yeah, if God has revealed it, believe it. Talk about it. Hang on to it. Endure. But see, Abraham didn't come up with this idea. Abraham didn't wake up one day and say, I think I'm going to be the man that the whole world is going to be blessed through. I mean, that's some ego there, right? No, it didn't start with Abraham being an awesome person. Do you know what the book of Joshua tells us about Abraham? Let me tell you where to find it so you know that I'm not making this up. Joshua 24, verse 2 and 3. You can scribble that down and look it up later. Joshua 24, verse 2 and 3. Those verses tell us that when God called Abraham, he was not even a worshiper of Yahweh God. He was an idol worshiper with his family in Ur of the Chaldees. The archaeologists have dug up Ur, and there's these ziggurats, where it was a center of moon worship. God called a man who wasn't looking for him. God called a man who was an idol worshiper, and his daddy was an idol worshiper, and his grandpa was an idol worshiper. They had nothing going for them, guys. And he wanted to birth a nation through them. Well, he chose an old man whose wife was barren. I mean, strike three, they're out. He doesn't love God. His wife is barren, and they're too old. Strike three, they've got nothing going for them. Why in the world would God choose them then? Corinthians says God chooses the weak to shame the strong, right? God wants to flex His muscles. God wants to show His glory by using the weak. And so we're a church full of rejects. Christianity is, that's what the Bible says. Not many of you were rich, noble. Not many of you that good looking. It didn't say that. I added that part. But what he says was, but God chose the weak. We're going to build a house. We go look for the straightest boards, the best tools. And God goes to the junkyard and He gets the warped 2x4s. All right? He gets some stuff that you got left over after the job and they don't fit together right. And He's going to build this beautiful, glorious house called the church and get all the glory. Because it's not us, guys. And so He calls Abraham out of his moon worship with his elderly self and his barren wife. And He says, leave your family and go to the land that I'll show you. And I promise I will bless you. And I will give you land. And I will give you descendants as numerous as the stars in the heavens. And through you, Abram at that time, through you, all the families of the world will be blessed. And Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. Abraham uprooted his family and left his hometown. He left everything he had ever known. He was 75 years old. He had some roots down in that town. And he followed God, a God he had never worshipped before. Why? How could you do that? You say, I could never do that. You could if God spoke it to you and you had faith. See, faith rose up when God spoke to Abraham. Faith is something God gives us. You know, you can do, you'd be surprised what you could do if God calls you to it. Say, I could never be a Christian. Yeah, when God shows you your sin and He shows you the Savior, you're going to run to Jesus. You'll be surprised how you'll find yourself living as a Christian. And these old sins and habits are falling off because there's a power at work in you. It's not you. Amen? You say, I could never leave with my family, leave my hometown and go where God... If God spoke to you and you saw it... Now, He didn't see it all. He saw that God was revealing it, that God was calling him, and he obeyed. So faith is not starting with us. Faith starts with God's call. You got that yet this morning? I got half a mind to preach it for 5 more minutes. All right. We got to understand that. Faith starts with God. He shows us. Faith is not you believing in your dream. Now, that's the message of a lot of churches. It's the message of Disney. Every movie Disney ever made is believe in yourself. And you can do it. And that's not the gospel. It's not Bible truth. God's not interested in your dream. God is going to call you to Himself, and He's going to ask you to leave your dream and believe in His dream. You know what I mean? Believe in Him. It's not your vision. Not faith is not you putting a plan together and saying, Lord, bless it. Faith is leaving everything of yours and saying, God, what is your plan? Give me grace to do it. So Abraham left his hometown. He didn't know where he was going. God didn't give him a map. He didn't have a GPS. 30 miles to promised land. No, he didn't have that. He just set out day by day, step by step, living in a tent for crying out loud, right? Raised his family in tents, telling them, one of these days, God is going to give you all this land. Isn't that awesome? Do you live like that? We're blessed here in the West. We got more than we need. That fights against our faith sometimes. Sometimes when we get sick, the first thing we do is not pray to God. We go to the doctor. And doctors are not wrong. God is blessed. He's blessed our civilization. He's blessed with technology. Doctors and nurses are ministers from God who He uses to bring healing. And we praise God for them. But what I mean is, what is the first thing you look to? What's your hope in? Or when something breaks, something goes wrong, do you pray about it first or you go replace it? Money, bank, where's your first glance? God or your stuff? What is your hope? What is your foundation? By faith, God calls us to live. Wow. Faith starts with God. Next, I want to show you in verse 10, Abraham saw the unseen. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations. The architect, the builder is God. You know what? That's an amazing verse. That says that Abraham wasn't just interested in the promised land in the Middle East, a little strip of land we call Israel. Abraham, on some level, understood that God was interested ultimately not just in a strip of land over there. It said he was looking past that physical land to a spiritual land. Do you see that in your Bible? Verse 10, there it is. Read it. Look it up. Check it out. Abraham was looking past the things of this world, and he was looking to where God was going ultimately. You see, the land is not just Israel. One day, it's going to cover the whole earth. Habakkuk 2:14, the whole earth will be covered with the glory of God as the waters cover the seas. It started in the Garden of Eden, and it grew to Israel. But He's got the whole thing, guys. A new heaven and a new earth coming down. That's how the book ends in Revelation. And we will dwell with God, not just in a garden and not just in the Middle East. In the whole world, His glory everywhere. It's bigger than we can imagine. It's bigger than we see with our eye. But the eye of faith says that God's going to pull this off. Abraham was looking for a city past the shadows and the types to the reality. And then we see Abraham and Sarah. They were empowered. Go back there. to receive what God had promised them. You see in verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. You may not have ever realized this. I didn't for a while. When God gave the baby Isaac to Abraham and Sarah, that was not a virgin birth miracle like Jesus was. In other words, Isaac was born the natural way. This verse confirms that. Did you ever realize that? The stork didn't deliver Isaac, okay? What we see is Abraham and Sarah acted on their faith. How did they act on their faith? By resuming physical intimacy when Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 90. Now, the Bible tells us that Sarah was past the age of having children. And when she was of the age, she was barren. She was sterile. Do you see? This is pretty big. So Sarah couldn't have kids when she was young. And now she's still sterile and barren, but now she's also old. She's past the age of having children. And her husband, it says his body was as good as dead. His body doesn't work right. Three strikes. But they believed God. Now, again, their faith was not perfect. There was a time when they tried to help God out. Do you remember? Sarah said, Abraham, look, I'm never going to be able to have you a kid, but I believe God's going to bring this kid. Maybe God meant for me to give you my handmaiden Hagar from Egypt, and we'll help God out here. Maybe that's the way the son of promise is going to be born. You see, their faith was not perfect. It lapsed. And God told them, no, it's not going to come through Hagar. Sarah, it's going to come through your body next year. And what did Sarah do when God said that? Do you remember? I see some of you mouthing the answer there. She laughed. Remember, she was inside the tent, and God came in a theophany of a man and two servants, and they prepared a meal. They understood this was no ordinary traveler, and God said, this time next year, I'm going to come back, and you'll have a son through Sarah. And the Bible says Sarah was in her tent, and she laughed. And there's another passage where it says Abraham laughed also. Guys, they weren't perfect. But they worked through their doubts. And they hung on to God and what He spoke to them, what He showed them. And guess what happened the next year? They had a little bouncing baby boy. They named him Laughter. Laughter. They got to laugh for a good reason in their old age. God fulfilled that promise. And there's little baby Isaac. When God spoke to them that they were going to have a child, they acted on that faith by resuming physical intimacy. That's amazing. And God empowered their bodies to work. And a baby was born. Isaac. Unbelievable. But God, what's the point? When God says He's going to do it, we say, yes, sir. I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe you, and now I'm going to act on it. I'm going to obey what God said. I'm going to live as if God's word is true, because it is. Now, we've seen some awesome examples here this morning. Before we respond together and close this out, I want to read a half of one more verse, and that is the first half of verse 13. As we kind of sum up what we've been talking about, seeing the unseen. Verse 13 says, these all died in faith. You see that? They died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. What's going on here? First of all, look at that first phrase, these all died in faith. What does that mean? It means they held on to faith to the end. That is what the book of Hebrews is calling us to do. Do you see that? We've studied through the whole book of Hebrews to this place. And the writer has these Jewish Christians. They're about to flake out. They're about to leave the faith. And he's telling them, no, look at these guys. They died in faith. You can do it too. By God's grace, hold on to Christianity. Hold on to Jesus and keep stepping. I know you're being persecuted. I know people are laughing at you. You may have some family members who are saying, you left Judaism. You need to come back. There's pressure on you, but you need to endure in the faith till you die. That is Christianity. Jesus gave a parable about soils, you remember, and the sower. It was only the last one that endured to the end. That's salvation. These first guys flaked out. A lot of people start the race for Jesus, and they don't finish the race. That is not true salvation. That's not what God is calling for. You say, well, yeah, I can give church a few weeks. And God, you know what? Count the cost. Jesus is saying, take up your cross and come follow me. No one, Luke 14 says, you can't be his disciple unless you forsake and renounce everything you have. See, Jesus ain't playing. Jesus is calling you to come to him. He's welcoming you with great love as your Savior, but he's also demanding that you bow the knee to him as Lord. And so Jesus is saying, start the race and finish the race. That's what Hebrews is calling us to do. These all died in faith. Now, church, we can look around this morning. I'm not a prophet. And I can't see in your hearts and your minds. I would ask myself this morning. Our church is celebrating our third anniversary today. Next year, Lord willing, we'll celebrate our fourth. Will you be here then? And our fifth, and our sixth, and 75 years from now, Lord, you know, willing, will you still be a Christian? Will you still be following Jesus with a group of disciples, living this faith out? When the smoke clears and the dust settles, by God's grace, will you still be running the race? That is a goal I believe the Lord would put before us this morning. These all died in faith. That's what I want to do by God's grace. And it says they didn't receive what was promised. What does that mean? It means they died and they didn't have everything that they saw. What did Abraham and Sarah have when they died? They didn't have the promised land. They didn't have descendants as numerous as the sand and the stars. They had one baby, Isaac. I mean, they had Ishmael over here, but he's not the son of promise. They've got one child. They died believing God, and they didn't have it yet, but they died in faith, and God did it. God still did it. They didn't have it in experience, but what did they have? They, having seen them, seen the promise, they saw it. You see, guys, you don't have the fulfillment yet, but you've got it in here. You've got faith is the substance. It's something in you that God has put, that he's shown you. You're not in heaven yet, but you've got it in here. You see what I mean? You understand that God's going to be faithful to do it just as he promised. And so faith sees the unseen. Faith looks past what we see with our eyes, and it lives life in light of what God has revealed in his word. So this morning, brothers and sisters, we've looked at faith. We've seen some examples. I just want to encourage us to respond to God's word. You see, the author of Hebrews, he wants his original hearers to hang on to Jesus. You remember how Hebrews started? I said earlier, chapter 1. God has spoken to Israel in the past through the prophets, but in these last days he's spoken by his Son. So God has revealed some information. He's given Christ. He's given the gospel, and he's saying, come to me through Jesus. And Hebrews wants those hearers to hold on to that faith, to see that God is trustworthy and that Christ is the only Savior, and therefore to endure in that faith till the end. That's the call to us today. We have heard the gospel. God has called us out of darkness and sin. And he's told us that Christ died for our sins and rose again. we've got some information from God. He's shone His light on us. He's spoken truth to us. And now He's calling us to hang on to that truth till the end. That's how you obey this passage of Scripture. That's how you respond to this Word. You hold on to faith in Jesus till you die. Now, you may be going through persecution or hardships or whatever. All Christians do from time to time. But God is speaking to you this morning, and me, us. He's calling us by His Holy Spirit to hang on to Jesus no matter what it hurts, no matter what I got to go through. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be convenient. You must deny yourself and follow Him. But He's calling for that. Have you seen it? Has God taken you to that place where it was just you before the cross and you knew you were a sinner and Jesus died for your sins and so nothing else matters? I'm yours, Jesus, because I've seen the truth of the gospel. Have you seen it? Look with the eyes of your faith this morning. If you've seen it, hang on to that and keep living it. Keep stepping it out day by day. I don't care if somebody makes you mad. This is too important to hurts and offenses. And forgive them. Get it right. Amen? Well, they forgot my birthday. Or that I did this and nobody noticed. And somebody said something mean to me at church. And you know what? We get it right. We forgive them. We go to them. We work through it. Because we are enduring in the faith together to the end. That's what God has called us to do. You know, other religions have things they can see. They have idols to worship, to look at, to focus their energies on as they pray. Idols of wood and stone. And God says, that's not going to cut it. You've got to come to Me, the invisible God, through My Word. I'm not going to give you anything to look at except baptism and the Lord's Supper. And that's going to be the only outward pictures you get of the gospel. You're going to hear the gospel and faith is going to rise and you're going to follow Me like Abraham without a map, except for the Bible, walking step by step where God has led. That's what God calls you to do. There's no idols to look at. It's you and God and His Word and a community to do this together in. You weren't there to see Jesus die on the cross. But God has shown you by faith. As it's preached, it comes alive in your heart because the Holy Spirit speaks and He shows it to you. Hang on to that. Amen? Hang on to that. You know, there may be some other convictions God has put in your heart, things He's just laid on your heart to pray about. Seek Him. Keep stepping, guys. Don't give up. Test all things by God's Word. Hang on to it with all your heart. Lay your future and your plans at His feet. God's not interested in you bringing your dreams to Him and saying, He's not a genie in a bottle that you're going to rub the lamp and He's going to make your wildest dreams come true. He's a Lord that you bow to. And your life, the plan He has for you, it's good, but it might hurt. Right? If it's not coming out of a cruel heart from God, He loves us so much that He brings us through suffering to make us more like Jesus and to show us that we can trust Him. So faith comes down to that. Do you trust Him? Church at Meadow Lake, it's our third year anniversary. God has done great things. I want to keep believing Him as we move forward. Amen? As a church body, I want us to keep believing the gospel. We're not going to water it down. We're going to keep preaching Christ. We're going to have our confidence to be God's Word. That's how God's going to save people and grow His church. Through His Word. God is able to work in people's hearts as His Word goes out and His Spirit moves. We have things we need God to correct in us and to help. We need God to bring us the people we need. And we need each church member doing their part and exercising their gifts. But it all comes down to God doing this. And I want you to know at this third year that I have confidence in God because He is trustworthy. And yeah, I don't know what God's going to do with us specifically, but I know that God blesses the preaching of His Word and God blesses a church that just comes together and loves each other and holds on to truth. And so I'm excited about our future because I'm excited about our God. Amen? So let's pray together. And And just take a moment here. Man, I don't know the things that God stirred up in your heart and mind as we looked at this passage together. But surrender right now to Him. And if you feel like your faith is weak, cry out to God. Set your eyes on Him. He is enough. He's the focus. He's the object of our faith. Look away from other things. Maybe you have a dream and a plan and God wants you to just sacrifice it. Just lay it down. Say, Your will be done, God. Or maybe you are not a follower of Jesus. I pray that He will show you the cross. I pray that God will open the eyes of your heart to see Jesus taking your place and your sin and dying as your substitute, your sin bearer, your sacrifice. Look to Him now. See His love pouring out from the cross. Just come simply kneeling and yielding to Him, confessing your sin, turning from it, grabbing hold of the truth of God's Word. Oh Lord, move in our hearts this morning. Let faith come. Let faith rise up in us, oh God. We pray that You speak clearly Your promises to us and help us to hang on to them. God, I pray for those who are struggling, whose faith has been tested, Lord. Those who are hurting, going through things. I pray for Your mercy and Your grace to be poured out on them. But God, let us hold on to You in faith to the end. We would be among those who die in faith, knowing that You have held us up. We ask You to take us and use this church family, Lord, that we would continue to look to Your Word together, to pray for one another, to hold each other up in love and to meet one another's needs, to stand together in unity around the cross, to reach out to our city with the gospel. We ask You to bless it, Lord, for Your glory. Give us sweet fellowship and power in the Holy Spirit. Give us life and leading. Add to us, Lord. Protect us from wolves that would come in to harm us. Lord, let us see this building filled up with people who are hearing the Word of God and being saved and being discipled and growing up in the things of God. Lord, use us. Whatever Your plan is, Lord, use this church, we ask. We thank You for the things You've done, the lives that have been changed, the truth that You have put in us, the family that You've created. We thank You, God. We worship You.